Before our prayer, I should like to mention the fact that Mr. James Morgan, Secretary of the Training Union Department of the North Carolina Baptist State Convention, died in Raleigh yesterday morning. Over a period of decades, he has rendered excellent service in this state, and we shall want to remember his family in our prayer. We have word also that Mrs. Stephen Peru, the wife of one of our students, Mr. Stephen Peru, was scheduled for surgery at the Wake Memorial Hospital this morning. The husband has requested that we remember her in our prayer. And I know that we shall want to do this. There are others in our fellowship who carry heavy burdens and face excellent opportunities. We shall want to remember all of these as we make our requests known unto God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, who art the source of all being and the great determiner of destiny, in all our ways we desire to acknowledge thee. We discern thy righteous rule in the affairs of men, and we know that thou art present in this place at this moment. In thy presence, we pray for those who have special need of thy help this day. We pray for thy servant whose name has been called, who undergoes surgery at this time. We pray for all who participate affirmatively in the healing process. We pray for thy servant who is at home with the Lord. Thou hast taught us that we may trust our loved one thy care. In the assurance that no harm ever comes to a good person that cannot be born in faith. We humbly ask thy blessings for those who serve thee throughout the world today, including those who serve thee on this campus. We are grateful for their faith in thee and for their faithful work. We pray that thou wilt undergird them and guide them in all their ways. Be with us, we pray, in these moments of worship. Enable us to open our souls to thee through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We shall read responsively selection number 21. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I should like to read also the first verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Able thinkers discern a vital relation between the gospel, the church, the ministry, and the world. They discern also that the church is an earthen vessel. It has a structure, a history, a program, a leadership, and a membership. And in all of these aspects of the life and work of the church, there are imperfections. The church is an earthen vessel. The minister also is an earthen vessel. If he has very much insight into himself, and into the minds of his fellow ministers, he understands that we live under limitations. We are limited by our time in history. We are limited by what we have received and by what we have done. We are limited by the groups to which we belong. We are limited by the promises we have made. We are limited in mind. We are limited in body. We are limited person. We are earthen vessels. But we do not lose heart. One of the foundations of this nation has described its ministry as a ministry of encouragement. You and I participate in a ministry of encouragement, and we do not lose heart. Why do we not lose heart? In the first place, we do not lose heart because we know, as Paul knew, that God calls and guides his ministers, his servants. At the end of an extensive and intensive study of theological education, Dr. Richard Niebuhr said that the most surprising discovery he made in the study was the tremendous significance of the call to ministry. And those of you who have read his book entitled The Purpose of the Church and Its Ministry will remember the emphasis he places on one page on the call to the service of God. He said it's the call to be a Christian. It's a providential call because of the endowments God has invested in us. It is a secret call because we have heard God's voice in our hearts. It is an ecclesiastical call because somebody in the church or some group in the church have manifested confidence in us to ask us to participate in the ministry of the church. You and I do not lose heart because we ourselves have heard God's upward call and we have responded to it. In the second place, we do not lose heart because we are strengthened by the Christian fellowship to which we belong. The church is an institution, but the church is primarily a fellowship of committed persons. It is a fellowship in which work is shared. It is a fellowship in which decisions are made through a deliberative process. It is a fellowship in which sorrows can be endured. You and I belong to this fellowship. It is a fellowship in which we discover the power and the wisdom of the gospel of the grace of God. And in moments in which we tend to lose confidence in ourselves, we never lose confidence in the power or in the wisdom of the gospel. Paul came, apparently, on a number of occasions, almost to despair. But he never, so far as we know, he never completely lost heart. He knew that he was an earthen vessel and that the people with whom he worked were earthen vessels. But he could write, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." And although I am not as knowledgeable where the New English Bible is concerned as I should like to be, there are passages in it which speak directly, it seems to me, to theological students and professors, and carries the invitation not to lose heart. Paul was autobiographical at points as he wrote what we call 2 Corinthians. He was especially autobiographical, I think, when he wrote, "I have been constantly on the road. I have toiled and drudged. I have often gone without sleep." Apart from these external things, there is the responsibility that weighs on me every day. My concern for all our congregation. How did a man carry that kind of responsibility without losing heart? Because he had a sense of mission, and because he belonged to the fellowship of the people of God. You and I do not lose heart, moreover, because we have opportunity to interpret life. At an hour in which decisions are being made, in an hour in which many minds are perplexed, in international affairs, in political affairs, in moral decisions, in religious faith, many minds are perplexed. We have an opportunity to interpret life in the perspective of the sovereignty of God and the mind of Christ. I think that James M. Gustafson's book entitled Treasure in Earthen Vessels deserves careful study. He speaks of the church as a natural community. He speaks of the church as a community of memory and of understanding. He speaks of the church as a memory of hope. But he speaks in particular of the church as a community of interpretation. You and I are members of a community of interpretation. And as interpreters of life, we have an opportunity to learn something about the historical forces that shape human culture. We have an opportunity to understand more precisely and more deeply the major motifs in the spiritual heritage recorded in the Bible and in Christian history. And we have an opportunity to understand and to appreciate personally. It is not easy to understand a human being, even oneself. Should I say, especially oneself. But we have an opportunity, and the social sciences have aided us at this point. Philosophy has aided us. All the major disciplines of theological education have aided us at this point. We have an opportunity to enter into a deeper understanding of persons. I, for one, do not believe that it is possible for one human being to accept another human being completely and without reservation. Only God can do this. But in the Christian fellowship, we do have an opportunity to accept one another in the main, as Aristotle might put it. We have an opportunity not only to accept one another and to try to understand one another, but also to appreciate one another. It will be very difficult for us to interpret life unless we know how to appreciate persons, including those who, in some respects, are different from us. Not only in their cultural background, but also in their personal commitment. I think that Dr. Linton's book on A Study of Man is one of the major documents for an understanding of man. I heard Dr. Linton say on one occasion that in his judgment, a person is not really mature until he discovers that there are people who do not like him and that there isn't anything he can do about it. We can accept and appreciate people who do not like him. Sooner or later, every moment has to be this. And it is at the point of the discovery that there are people who do not like us that we are severely tempted to lose heart. But we do not lose heart. They are God's children too. They may be wiser than we. They may be stronger than we are. We can learn from them, whether they like us or not. We do not lose them. I am not competent to present an exegesis of the last verses of the Gospel according to Matthew. But there is a phrase in that passage that I should like to bring into our thinking at this moment. Lo, I am with you always. This is a promise of God to his people. I am with you all the days. The difficult days, the days of defeat, the days of victory, the days of joy, the days of sorrow, all the days. I am. In the midst of all of our perplexity and at the almost unbearable point of our suffering, we know one thing. God is with us, and we do not. Thank you. Lead us, O God, into a deeper understanding of thyself, of thy purpose in thy people, and of those with whom we live and work. Mercifully grant unto us the grace of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us.